The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The policing authority has warned that An Garda Síochána is unlikely to meet the government's targets of 5,000 more officers under its current recruitment policy. The warning was issued to the Minister for Justice in a letter earlier this year that was released to the Irish Times under a Freedom of Information request. The letter also raises more issues with the Minister for Justice, including insufficient overtime budget and over-reliance on complex computer systems and much more. Joining me now, Mark O'Mara, President of the Garda Representative Association. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Now, it sounds like you could have written this report yourselves.
It would seem that way. We've been beating this drum for some time, Pat, and unfortunately it seemed to have fallen on deaf ears. One of our major concerns really in the last 12 months was the amount of resignations that we envisage would take place from April of next year, because bearing in mind in 1995, there was increased recruitment campaigns back then and the numbers of trainees and the intakes going into Templemore increased significantly. And so the information that we have and our belief is that when April next year arrives, we're going to see a significant increase in the number of members retiring.
And this is simply why? Is it because they've done their 30 years and that's the stretch?
That's exactly it, Pat. Yeah, I mean, that's the 30 years. And I think, as we've been highlighting previously, the issue with morale and the burnout of the workforce, it's not easing up on them. And so, you know, within the group that I train with, I'm one of those that will come to my 30 years as of next July.
And are you getting out?
I have yet to make the final decision, but I'm most certainly considering it seriously, yes. I have previous service in a neighbouring jurisdiction, which gives me significant service, so it's probably time for me to hang up my boots at that stage, but that's for a different reason. But I'm seeing that a lot of my colleagues that during my time in Templemore when I first started, the vast majority of those are ready to leave on the day, if not prior to that date. That's a huge concern for us going forward.
So is that in addition to any calculation that might have been made as to the likely retirement numbers when the police authority wrote that letter, or did they take that into account?
Not having sight of that actual part of the report, Pat, it's difficult for me to comment on, but I would imagine, because we did highlight this well over a year ago, and as you say, this was released, I think, back in March, this letter, which contains some of that information. So I would hope that they would have considered that. But it seemed to have been met, anytime I raised it particularly, and my colleagues in the GRA, that it was met with silence and that it was something that they didn't believe was going to happen within Garda management and government. But
now there's a kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy here. When you tell people that, every guard is overworked and people are stressed and stressed out and they're just looking forward to the day when they can hang up their boots, it kind of deters people from joining.
I don't agree, Pat. I suppose we're in the position where we have to represent our members, and they're very, very clear in how they feel and how it's affecting them. And while we were previously, I think you played a clip there earlier of me claiming that Garda management accuse us of risking a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it would be very remiss of us, and it is our role to highlight the concerns and issues that our members face, and they most certainly are highlighting the concerns and fears and the effects, with the modern the current administration has on their conditions of employment in terms of employment, and it affects them hugely.
Most Gardaí want to be out there doing their job, whether they're a detective in plain clothes or whether they're on the beat or driving around in a patrol car detecting crime and trying to prevent crime. Most people want to do that. What is it they're saying about, too much paper? Where is this paper? And what about cumbersome computer systems? Can you outline for us what exactly is wrong?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And just to finish off on the previous point, like, members of Garda Síochána, really, it's a vocation like many other roles, but it is a vocation for them. And their role, and they believe, is to out there and ensure and instill safety in the public. And when we have computerized systems that ties them up in knots behind a screen, like, it's statistical-led policing, and that does very, very little, in particular for members of the public.
But give me an example. Suppose you arrest someone for petty theft, say, in some main street in some town or city. What happens? How cumbersome is processing that simple arrest?
Well, there's a system, the IMS system, that we have referred to repeatedly. And that system was designed for serious crimes, investigation of serious crimes. And that most certainly, that system had a very valid and useful role in that. But it very quickly, and from the outset almost, became a system for all cause, even those of very regular nature, a minor nature. And what would happen is the member concerned would have to go back to the station and upload and download vast amount of information onto that system for statistical purposes. And it literally tied them up for knots. And it took them off the street for possibly up to 3 hours, a little more, a 12-hour shift.
Okay, so what are they trying to get out of this? I mean, if, for example, as I say, you stop someone for petty theft and therefore you maybe give them, indicate they will be before the courts for shoplifting, whatever it is. Surely that's a fairly simple report. You should be able to almost do it on a computer page by ticking a box, sticking in a name, the time of the apprehension, what you did, box, 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 end of, enter. It should be the work of, 2 minutes max.
You'd imagine so. I mean, look, we're probably at a time where accountability is very important to every concerned. And so we accept that and we understand it fully. However, you're right. The amount of work that was required of our members and on this system was just so time consuming and tying them up that a working group basically was established. And thankfully, some change were made to that for some of the more minor offences that you're referring to there. And that has very recently, and I mean very recently, I think, kind of filtered into frontline policing. So there are very, very slight improvements on that, but there's much more to be done. And it needs to be done to get our members back out on the street. And as you said, where they intended to be when they joined An Garda Síochána.
So tell me what happens when someone comes in off a shift. At that point, do they have to enter, and does that amount to overtime? Or do they come in early in order to do the computer work before they go home?
There's a number of ways it works. In some cases, you'd have members coming back in off the street. They'd have to try and get the upload of information onto the system early. If they don't, we found in some cases, in some of the very busy centres, those members were on their way home trying to upload that system in their own time. Overtime really wasn't an answer to this. It wasn't an option for them. So it was one of the two really that I've given to you. Some people may have stayed behind themselves at their own time in which to upload that information and get it done, so that when they came in the next day, they hadn't got a massive backlog. And in fact, it wouldn't be appropriate for somebody to go home at the end of a shift and leave it to the next shift. So you'd have to do it as you're finishing your shift. So basically, what it did was it removed the resources from frontline police.
Now, has this anything to do with, what happens in court or any of the things that are vital for the processing of someone who's committed a crime? Or is it simply so that at the end of the year, the Garda Commissioner can stand up and say, well, X amount of petty theft happened, X number of bicycles were stolen, X number of domestic abuse interventions were made? Is it all about statistics, or does it have any, if you like, practical use in policing?
To some extent, some of the information would be required for transparency and obviously accountability. But I do think that it became an animal that it ran policing, as opposed to policing feeding into it. And I think that was a problem. That's what our members saw. And they were just absolutely exhausted and burnt out from it. And again, I go back to what the general public, they don't see the benefit of this, statistical policing. They don't see boots on the ground. In fact, they see quite the opposite as a result of it.
All right. So what would you be doing if you were the Garda Commissioner, the new Garda Commissioner, the outgoing Commissioner? What would you do to change all this? I mean, does it need more modern computer systems, or does it need just a change of attitude entirely?
I think that, there has been advances in relation to our IT system, such as body-worn cameras and some of the equipment that's available to our members as they police. Every member has, or the vast majority of members has, a mobility device, which assists them greatly. But again, that's a system that took so long to come into effect. And I think that when some of those systems were being released and publicly released, that some of the public commentary, and indeed not just members of the public, but from the private sector, I think were clearly shocked that it had taken so long to get what was clearly something that was absolutely vital to
assist that particular. Now, what happens to digital information stored in the body-worn camera? Is that automatically downloaded and is that retained in case there are questions about... You know, I know that you guys, when you're on the street and you're intervening in some sort of nefarious activity, you'll have loads of people around actually photographing you, filming you or videoing you. And that can be the first thing that hits social media. Whereas what you have gathered on your body cams may never hit social media. And therefore, you get a one-sided story of the event.
The information that's retained on that system is strictly adhered to in relation to GDPR and so on, and retention of information. But if something is required from that system, there is a time limit on it for it to be downloaded or uploaded, as the case may be. And that is, as I say, adhered to strictly within the policy. But anecdotally, and not just anecdotally, but our members who are using that system are very, very happy with it overall. There are some concerns, obviously, but I think overall they see it as a huge benefit and developing
okay,
the policing
because
for them.
It certainly protects the Garda in action, as it were.
Right,
but is there a concern about how one-sided accounts of events can get out there on social media? And maybe the Garda are a bit too slow. They can pixelate faces so that people are not identified, but the Gardaí, of course, will be identified anyway. So I'm thinking of that event in one of the London airports where an attack was made on police, and they very quickly got the video out there to show how their members had acted responsibly, whereas the narrative on social media was the opposite.
Well, that's just a risk with policing, I think, Pat, to be fair. But I think that the policy that governs us with body-worn cameras, and not just legislation, but the policy itself is quite a very positive and has been received quite well by members. So we're always going to run that risk of social media. Of course we are. And of keyboard warriors and you know, various groups who wish to put out information that is... misinformation, disinformation.
Okay. So
that's just part of the risk.
So, Mark, the bottom line is, how do we get more people to join the Gardaí? How can we make it attractive, exciting? It is already reasonably paid. I know you'll maybe quibble with that, but most people say starting salaries are good, then there are allowances and overtime and so on. So at the end of the year, you have, you know, a decent enough living. So how do you get more people in?
There's two aspects on that, and in relation to recruitment, that is a difficult challenge. There's no doubt about that in full employment. However, it is the retention of our members that we say is something that can be addressed immediately. And we were asked for a submission on that, and we gave a submission. And the submission, it was only 6 points, and if I have a moment to do it, was the increase of the training allowance. In our neighbouring jurisdictions, once a recruit or a trainee enters their training centre, they go on to the first point of the pay scale. We don't do that. Our previous Minister of Justice, pre-budget, had committed to, over a five-year period, attaining that. But we have said, and I publicly have said, that that's too little, too late. That needs to be done now. And keep it in line with common practice in other jurisdictions. Streamline the increments. We have a number of increments as members go to their service. Streamline that. Remove some of them. Get people onto a higher increment sooner. One of the major issues for us is the post 13 pension scheme, and a review of that is required. And I mean, we can't say that while we fear contagion in other parts of the public sector, we have to realise that we are a unique body on Garda Síochána, and we need to be remunerated for that accordingly. And so it's time to stop talking out of both sides of our mouth in this area and to accept that in order to keep people in the job, you have to give them a pension that is worthwhile. At the end, the current post 13 pension system will leave members on a pension from the time they retire until they reach a state pension, which could be 11 years, on an actual Garda pension that's below the state pension. That's unsustainable for anybody.
All right. Yeah.
No, it was just attestation. When people are in the college and they're passing out parade, they should go on to the first pay scales and maybe up one or two pay scales to improve it. A housing allowance for members in very busy urban areas where the cost of housing is very expensive. They're just a number of the things that we had spoken about.
And you know, you did mention contagion there, and that is the concern, I suppose, of government, that teachers, nurses, everybody, people who are emptying
refuse. Yes, absolutely.
Refuse.
But I But I do believe, Pat, that our role is very unique in society. That's well documented, very clear. And the governing bodies on us make us unique. And we accept that. But it can't then be ignored that we are unique. And therefore, there should be some form of recompense to those members.
Mark O'Mara, President of the Garda Representative Association, the GRA. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.